We are in the middle of the introduction.
It's working?
We are in the middle of the introduction to Sefer Amos. So yesterday we touched upon a few issues. We looked at the chart a little bit. Let's continue our introduction. Okay, we're using the Mincha Gedolah as our commentary for the introduction. It's on page. Okay, we are on page. Let's see, we are on page. 267. We're up 6 lines down. Okay, 6 lines down on page 267. Now, here he's saying another very powerful word, very profound idea. That is that Chazal tells us that sometimes man is not deserving of salvation. Sometimes man has sinned to a point where HaKadosh Baruch Hu would allow the world to be destroyed, or would allow there to be a churban in this world. And the only reason why he holds back and does not destroy the world, does not bring a curse upon people, is because it's not fair for the animals. What did the animals do that they deserve to suffer? If Hashem would bring upon the world a korban, the animals would suffer. And, there's something called Tsar Balei Chaim. I recently came across something very, very fascinating. The whole the discussion is the Isser Deraisa of causing pain to animals. Tsar Balei Chaim is Isser Deraisa, or an Isser Dirabana. So it's a very complicated topic, and some want to argue that it's only an Isser Midirabana. Show me where in the Torah, show me a source in the Torah where Azav Tazavimah is not for the animals, for the person, the Balabais. The Balabais has to unload. Good morning, Shalom Aleichem. The Balabais has to unload the animal, so you have to help the person. Do we really care about the animal? No, you can argue back. There are different opinions in the Rishonim. Is there an is? Is there a mitzvah?
You have to reload the animal so that they.
Yeah, but that. But you can argue that the unloading and the reloading of the animal is primarily to assist the owner of the animal. The owner.
Oh, he
doesn't care.
The animal, it can't walk when it has all the way to one side and not on the other.
Azov to Azov Imoy, together with him. The focus of the pasuk.
No,
imoy adarabah. I think if I'm not mistaken, the Gemara says. If I'm not mistaken, the Gemara says that if the Baal HaBayis says, oh, it's your mitzvah, I'm going to sit down, and you do it. Then you're exempt. You only obligated. Exactly. I hear what you're saying. You can argue this point. Some say what you're saying is correct. It appears, I don't have the details in front of me, but it appears that there is a major league machlokes rishonim if Tsar Balei Chaim is an Isser D'Oraisa or an Isser Midrabanan. I came across something very fascinating not that long ago. I don't remember the source. I have it actually written down over here somewhere in my notes. That there's a shita that says there's a difference between Shabbos and Chol. During the weekday, we don't find any clear-cut source that it should be also midoraisa to cause pain to an animal. But on Shabbos, there's something called shvisas behemtoi. You're not allowed to allow your animals to work on Shabbos. And by so some of the Rishonim say, by extension, that means that on Shabbos, there's an only on Shabbos, unbelievable chiddush to say such thing, unbelievable. Only on Shabbos is there an Isser D'Oraisa to cause pain to an animal.
Not pain, it's because he's working for you. If you would sell the animal, there's no problem.
But that is a revelation. That is a revelation. A revelation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned for the Shvisa of an animal, and by extension, we have to go to the sources to see exactly what it says. You're saying.
Billon.
Yeah.
He hit
the donkey. Billon is not a Jew. We don't bring a rifle from Billon. Bilam is not a shemitah tar mitzvahs. Maybe we are. Maybe are you allowed to hit a person? Are you allowed to hit a person?
Sure. Sorry.
Maybe you're allowed to hit a person also. Okay, whatever it is. But it's interesting that there is such an opinion that says that there's a difference in the halacha d'oraisa between the weekday and Shabbos. Shabbos is a prohibition of tzar ba'alechayim, and on the weekday there is no prohibition of tzar ba'alechayim. On the week of Shabbos, you have to have respect for the animals, because the Torah gave respect for the animals. The Torah says, it's something called shvisas, that if you own an animal, you're not allowed to have your animal engaged in malacha on Shabbos. Okay, now put that aside. Over here we're discussing over here this idea where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that we have a famous chazal that tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu at times Hashem says that He will not bring Churban to this world in the zechus of the animals. If the animals are, just because a man is guilty, and man deserves to be punished, it's still not fair that the world, that the animals should have to suffer when they did not engage in any avera. Verachamav al kol ma'asav. Here, Hosea is saying, telling us something very, very frightening. And he's telling us that the sins of man are, in this situation he's referring to, are so great, so awesome, Hashem will not spare the animals. Hashem will have no choice but to bring upon this world Churban, even though the animals will suffer as well. That's what he says, a very powerful insight. Over here again, it's on page 267, we're in the middle of the Mincha Gedoyla. We're using the Mincha Gedoyla as a Hakdama to Sefer Amos. He lays out many important yesodos. We learned yesterday a few of them. Now we're going further. It's six lines down on page 267. The first word of the line in the Ha'inyan, ki kol kach tia hatzara shein hatzarech lomar, the tzara, the pain, the punishment, the decree will be so great, shein tzarech lomar she yoshia Hashem es adam b'schus behema, that it's not going to happen that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will save man in the merit of animals. Ki'inyin Adam uvehema toshi Hashem. Chazal tell us, they darsh this pasuk, we say this pasuk on Shabbos by Tzikoscha, that Adam uvehema, Hashem saves Adam in the zuchus of the behema. That's not going to be the case over here. Ki'im shagam ne'ois horo'im, that's the first pasuk of Sefer Amos, is that even the pastures, the luscious pastures of the meadows that the animals eat, and the animals have not done any avera, they will be destroyed. Ki im shagam ne'ois haroim ye'evlu, even the pastures of the shepherds will be in a state of mourning. Ki tagia le'miknehem tzara li'ois yad Hashem hoyobohem. The hand of Hashem will touch them, will destroy their pasture as well. The gam yoveish rosh ha'karmel, and the rosh ha'karmel will... Which pasuk? Adam Behema? Hoya. That right. That's by the Barad. That's by Barad. Barad. It says there that. Rabbi Barad. It says that.
B'yad Hashem. Right.
Also going to suffer. Also going to suffer. The Gam Yavei Shosh Hakamel Ad a Nir Lachem. The Rosh Hakamel will be swindled. Will not be any pasture. The Kol Shkem B'nei Adam. If the animals are going to be their pasture, their food will be destroyed. So certainly mankind will suffer. The Shi'ur HaKosuf, Hashem Mitzion, Asher Misham Teitzei Torah, Yishak. The pasuk goes on to explain, Tzion, why do we mention Tzion? So here the Mincha Gedol is a Tzion, is his code word for Torah. Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah, Yishak, Mehedar, Kiyum Torah, Sai. Why will the earth suffer? Because there will be a lack, bittul Torah. Chazal say that the person who suffers Yisurin, this part of the process of Teshuvah, Yom Nirama, says Teshuvah. There are three different types of Yisurin. There's Teshuvah Me'ava, Teshuvah Me'ira, and then there's Teshuvah Me'Yisurin. Three different levels why a person does Teshuvah. Either he's suffering, that's the lowest level. He sees that he is in trouble, he's suffering, and that brings him to do Teshuvah. Then there's Teshuvah Me'ira, he's afraid that he may suffer. And then there's Tshuva Me'ava. So So here, then Chazal tells that a person, Rahman Lutzlan, he sees that he's suffering. He should look into his deeds and to try to understand why is he suffering. If he finds why he's suffering, his avera is fine. But if a person makes a cheshbon hanefesh and does not see that he has done anything for which he deserves this pain, this suffering, Chazal say he should be toile in bitul toira. Sometimes yisurim come upon a person because he had an opportunity to engage, to delve more into his level, of course, in the study of Torah, or bittul Torah does not necessarily mean only the study of Torah, but it means that the performance the Torah demands upon him, and he should be toila his yisurim in bittul Torah. So here, that's exactly what it's saying over here. The reason why there's going to be suffering in the world is because of tzion. Tzion is a code word for Torah. If a person is mefashvesh b'masav and he sees that his punishment is more than what he deserves, toile in bitul Torah. That's why it says Yeshog may heder from the absence. Kiyum Torahsai. V'yim shagoso yisparach hoya nishmas misham lo yichilen ha'olam kuloi. If that's where Hashem's roar is coming forth, the world will not be able to withhold it. There's nothing that can be done to prevent the yisurim that will come upon the world as a complaint that Hashem has against the world for a bittul of Torah. Ach gam shahashaga mitzion teitze mirushalayim asher devar Hashem l'neviyav misham hu. Still, there will be from Yerushalayim the word of Hashem. K'mo dat Omar udvar Hashem mirushalayim misham yitein koyloi. The sound of Hashem's roar will spread out in Yerushalayim liyosan nishvam el hanavi to the prophet. Through this expansion of Hashem's voice will weaken the choizek hasha'oga v'roigza, the strength, the potency of Hashem's roar and his anger. Umiroigel shagos yisparach halo timashich tzara. Even the pastures will be in mourning. The curse, the and famine, the period. Okay, let's recap what we say over here before we go further. Let's recap. Yeah. So he's explaining the roaring is manifests itself in Chorban. He's saying something very, very powerful. He's saying there are two different things that are coming forth from Yerushalayim. We know, we discussed this in the past so many times, there are two different terms that are used to describe what we call Yerushalayim. Tzion and Yerushalayim. And the question, the age-old question is, what is the difference between the two? What is the difference between Tzion and Yerushalayim? There are so many answers. The Mincha Gedoyli here is presenting something new, at least that I have never seen before. That's not a chiddush, but what is that? Tzion represents Torah. Ki mitzion teitze Torah. Yerushalayim represents nevuah, the koyach of the source of prophecy. I've never heard that before. This is totally new to me. And that he's saying that is alluded to in the words Udvar Hashem Mirushalayim. When a prophet gives over a message to Klal Yisrael, from where did the Navi derive the source, the sanctity, the Kedusha, the message to give over that message to Klal Yisrael? From Yerushalayim, from the same exact location of Tzion. It's all the same. It's just that in this location is a Shefa that manifests itself in Torah. You open up a Chumash, you open up a Daf Gemara, and you can derive what Hashem wants from you. And then there is an explicit message that's presented through the human being, through a Navi. So there are two different dimensions in HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to us. We mentioned many times. When we dive into Hashem, we speak to Hashem. When we learn, Hashem speaks to us. Now, in addition to Hashem speaking to us through the studying of Torah, There's always a hashkocha pratis. It's very, very fast. You learn Daf Yomi many times. The Daf Yomi, very, very often, it's in the news. There's something that you learn in the Daf Yomi. It's unbelievable. This topic of discussion that's presented in the Daf Yomi is the headlines of today's news in some event that happened in the world, and it's not for nothing. It's being that the Torah is central to Klal Yisrael, and since Klal Yisrael is spending a significant number of people in Klal Yisrael are learning this stuff, it is through this stuff that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings about events in this world, and He speaks to us, and He allows us insight. If we only were to study the daf and delve into what it says in the Gemara, we would gain a unique perspective in understanding current events. Alec, the Parshas HaShavua, that's the classic. Okay? That's the classic. Ha-feichba de-kulaba. This, and we went to spend a lot of time on this. This was the traditional role of a Rav. The Rav, it used to be, not like it is today, but it used to be the Rav would use his drasha, his sermon, before Musaf, to discuss current events. You take out the newspaper, what is going on in the world, and we have a emuna, ha-feichba de-kulaba, in the Parshas HaShavua, you will uncover a understanding, a deeper Torah perspective on current events. Unfortunately, today, Rabbanim, there are less and less Rabbanim that are qualified to do that. And that's why the drasha on Shabbos has turned into a Dvar Torah. Okay, less and less Rabbanim today are discussing current events and trying to understand it from a Torah perspective. Instead, they shy away from it. Instead, they use that time when they speak to give over divrei Torah. They say beautiful things. They say pulpulim. They say drush. But they don't relate it whatsoever to current events. That's a real shame. Because that's not...
It could also be very wrong.
That's why. Okay. Guess what? A Dvar Torah can also be wrong. Exactly. That's why today, that is why the Balavatim, they say to the rabbi, you know, just say it's our Torah. Don't try your hand at interpreting current events. Because today, unfortunately, we don't have Rabbanim on, you know, we don't, it's few and far in between. People who are holy have that sensitivity, have that broad knowledge to be able to decipher complex issues in current events through the perspective of the Parashas HaShavua. But there's no doubt about it, years ago, that's what a Rav did.
Do you mind me asking your father?
Yes, my father was very into current events. My father, that was his thing, only current events. That was his whole...
A whole
Sha'ifa. But that's that. But today it's not necessarily not the Baal. I don't even want here. They're not necessarily interested. It's a different world today. It is what it is. Whatever it is, it is. But here, in addition, that's the Parash of Shavua. But over here, the Navi is. There is something called the Navi is giving over a message to Klal Yisrael. Certainly, that is the role of the Navi. And over here, the Gemara over here, he's telling us the Gedola is that what it means in the pasuk. Ki mitzion Teitze Soira, Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. When we refer to Tzion, we are referring to the Koyach, the Siyata Deshmaya, the Shefa, the bestowal of Kedusha that comes to Klal Yisrael through the study of Torah. When we learn Torah, we don't realize it is changing our way of thinking, and we're able to look into current events with a different perspective. And then there is an explicit message that comes to us if we merit to have a Navi. That is captured in the expression, Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. Now, here he's telling us a Klal Yisrael, they're not with the program. They're not listening to what it says in the Torah. Therefore, Tzion is Yishog. Tzion is giving out a roar. Hashem is angry. And this roar manifests itself in Churban, in terrible, terrible Churban, famine, devastation. Even the animals have to suffer because of man's sin. We don't follow the regular principle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Rachmanis on us in the Zuchus of the animals. Because the Torah is being Toiveya, its insult. However, he seems to say, is we still have a ray of hope. And that is the Nevi'im are still active. the Devar Hashem is still in force. And if only now we will take advantage and listen to what the Nevi'im say, the Devar Hashem that's still coming forth from Yerushalayim, we may be able to temper, to dilute, or to cut back on the intensity of the Yish'og.
Okay, so then the war is the impact of the
Say again?
The
Yishog is the Torah, he's saying. There is an insult to the Torah. Klal Yisrael are not observing the Torah. So therefore, the element of Torah, of Tzion, is insulted. And it gives forth a roar, a Yishog. That Yishog, it's insulted. The Torah is insulted. Because Klal Yisrael is not observing the Torah. So the Torah is insulted, it gives forth a roar, and that roar expresses itself in bringing to this world a Chorban.
So that's the impact of the
Yishog. However, there's still hope. This is what it seems to be saying. There's still, what's the hope? The hope is Omois. Omois is the Dvar Hashem. The Dvar Hashem Yerushalayim is still active. That has not yet closed. That has not yet been sealed. And if only now we will listen to what Omos has to say, maybe we will be able to scale back the impact of the Yishog of Tzion. You see how they're working together? There is Tzion, which is in full force, but we're using the Dvar Hashem Yerushalayim as a way to contain the damage, the intense impact of the Yishak. That's what he appears to be saying in a nutshell. Yeah. Yes, that way, as I said in the beginning, there are many, many interpretations as to the difference between Tzion and Yerushalayim. We're just focusing now, the Mincha Gedolah is just giving us one of many interpretations. The common interpretation is that Tzion represents the spirit, the spirituality of this Mokoim, and Yerushalayim represents the physical qualities, the stone and wood, cement, the physical element of this area. That's the simplest difference between Tzion and Yerushalayim. The more you're saying another idea, there's a very common idea is that Tzion represents the Beis Hamikdash, the Har Habayis, Ir David, the center of Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim represents the city, the expanded city, the old city, the new city, the area that is on the perimeter of the Beis Hamikdash. That is absolutely correct. And there are many, many more perushim. What's very beautiful here about the perush of the Mincha Gedolah is he's telling us they're not two separate things. They interact with one another. Tzion, there are two ways in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicates with us. He communicates with us through the study of Torah, and he communicates with us through prophets, through leaders. Leaders are given siyata d'shmaya to speak to us and tell us what we're doing wrong and what we need to do to continue. And if Tzion does not work, our insurance policy is the Devar Hashem Yerushalayim. And he's also giving us, and saying that when there's a Yishog, and from Tzion, it means that we're not learning Torah. We're not deriving the message, the lessons that the Torah provides us to live our lives properly according to the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then we have to fall back on the insurance policy. Hashem sends for us prophets, which are expressed in the Devar Hashem Yerushalayim. The beauty of the Mincha Gedolah is the Devar Hashem Yerushalayim is the insurance of Ki Mitzion Teitzei Sarah. We never heard that before. You never heard that Devar Hashem Yerushalayim is an insurance policy. Two separate things. Hayah Luchud v'Hayah Luchud. It's a novel approach to explain, and that's how what he reads over here is in this very, very first pasuk when he talks about the roar. The world is really coming later on. So he's really referencing what it's going to say in pasuk Beis. We didn't get to pasuk Beis yet. Vayomar Hashem Mitzion. Look over page 266. Hashem Mitzion Yishog. Hashem is giving forth a roar from Tzion, which is manifesting itself in the Chorban that we're going to read about in the following Pesuk, when this Pesuk itself, where it says, V'ovlu ne'ois harayim v'yavei shroi shar karmel, and our last ray of hope is, U'mim shalayim yitin koiloi omois. Omois is the yitin koiloi of Hashem that's coming forth, who's trying to save us from the yishog of Tzion. Okay, now let's go further. Let's go further, moving along over here. Now we come to another idea, another very important yisoid. Uma, I'm on the last word on the line. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. 13 lines from the bottom. On the column on the right side, page 267, in the Mincha Gedolah, the column on the right side, the last word on the bottom, 13 lines from the bottom. Uma gam ata ba'adam ki ikar reigzo yisprach ba'adam hu. And here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is expressing his anger against man, even though it mentions over here in the Pasuk, the Ne'ois Horoim and the Rosh HaKarmel, these two locations are pasture areas for the animals. And don't make a mistake, the Mincha Gedolah says, do not think over here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sitting a korban to the animals. Hashem is not concerned about the animals. Hashem is concerned about us. And it means to say is that the korban that's going to overcome the human beings is going to be so massive, so complete, it will even, the collateral damage will extend even to the animals. Ki ikar roigza yisprach ba'adam hu. Now, further, v'inei b'shila yol. Now he goes to the next idea. Now the next idea, new idea. He's asking a question over here. At the end of Sefer Yol, we learn this together. Ne'emar v'Hashem mitzion yishon. There it says, v'Hashem with a vav. V'Hashem. And Chazal tell us, every time we have the word Hashem with the prefix of a vav, it means Hashem ubeis dinoi. Not just the Ribbono Shel Olam, he comes, he arrives with the Pamalia Shalmaila, with the Bezdin Shalmaila, to issue a judgment upon the world. And here, Poinemar, in this Pasuk, it says in Pasuk Beis, which we didn't learn yet, but here it's Vayomar Hashem, there is no prefix. Question, why? Why, when Yoel gave over Nevuah, did he refer to Hashem, Vahashem? Whereas Omois, when he gives over his first Nevuah, he does not use the prefix of the Vav. Achu, kishami daber al seif hagolus, hazeh ha'achan. And Sefer Yoel, when Yoel used Vahashem, he was referring to Yimos HaMashiach. Alzman yoim hadin hagodol, kemafar esham. There, it's the yoim hadin hagodol for the entire world. And that's why Hashem comes with his bezdin. V'oz midas had yesh, midas hadin gidoyla. It's a much more intense dosage of midas hadin. Al kein gam, mirushalayim yitein koiloi, shem mispashetes hasha'aga. It expands the roar. Im kol zeb, liyois v'hashem, shehu hu ubeistinoi. It's Hashem with his bezdin. Al kein v'ru'ashu shamayim v'aretz. There in Sefer Yoel, it says the earth and the heavens will quake. There's much greater intensity because it's the yoim hadin hagodol v'hanayra in acharis hayamim. Ach ata, Omois is not yet up to the yoim hadin hagodol v'hanayra. He's focusing on current events. He's focusing on the world as we know it. Therefore, yidaber al zmanesh beis hamikdash al mechoinoi. There is a beis hamikdash. V'tzion v'Yerushalayim oidam al omdon. And Tzion and Yerushalayim are functional. Hashem yishog b'li beis dinoi al kein ein horoges rav lehisraesh shamayim. Or is the intensity is not so great to cause the earth and heavens to quake? Ki im v'ovlu v'yovei shroi shakarmel v'loi kolu. All it says here is they will be in a state of mourning. They will dry, but they will not cease to exist. V'hu al derech amam zal, al Hashem nosan v'Hashem lokach. Just like we have this expression when it comes to avelus, Hashem does not say v'Hashem. It's a very powerful idea. This is one of the pesukim of Tzidik Hadin. In Tzidik Hadin, Rachman was done at the funeral at the Beis HaKvaris. When it's not a day when you do not say when you do say tachlin, there are 14 expressions. Some of them are pesukim, and some of them are not. There are 14 different phrases that are recited as part of Tzidur Kadin. And one of them, very well known, is Hashem Nosan, v'Hashem Lokach, Yishem Hashem Mevarach, Me'ata V'Ad Olam. Question, Why doesn't it say in that pasuk, Vahashem Nosan, Vahashem Lokach? Why is there no prefix for the first Vahashem? And the answer is because the Tzidik HaDin that we recite by Beis HaKvaros is not a Tzidik HaDin and the Yom HaDin HaGol VeHanayra. The fact that there are survivors, there are children, there are relatives who are alive and can say the Psukim obviously means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has not destroyed the world. There was a Din, a person was taken from this world, but there are survivors. So therefore, the Vav is absent on purpose. This is the Rebbe Chiddush from Menuchah Gedola. Hashal Hashem, Nasa Hashem Lokach. Ki kishnoisin hu Hashem, Belidin, Uchashalokeach hu Beis Dinay. Okay, but then it does say Hashem Lokach. I take it, I didn't say it correctly. Okay, the first is Hashem. I made a mistake. It does say that the second part of the pasuk is Vahashem. So there it's a din, and echanami, it's tzidika din, the person did lose his life, the person left this world. So there it's Vahashem Lokach, that represents the din, but the Vah with the Vav, because there, but the beginning represents Hashem Nosan. Hashem does not need the best din to give. When Hashem gives on his own. Hashem gives midas harachanim. When it comes to take, it comes to din, Hashem comes with his bezin, Vahashem lokach. Ki kishenoisin hu Hashem. Belidin. Uchishalokeachu ubeistinay atkan. A very beautiful insight. Why the pasuk there says, Hashem nosan Vahashem lokach. Giving, there is no din. Hashem gives with rachamim. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes, Hashem does not take on his own. Hashem calls in the bezin as an expression of humility. I am not going to decide on my own if we want to take away from a person what he has. Hashem brings in the Bezdin in order to discuss it, to deliberate with the Dayanim in Shemayim, the Bezdin Shalmaila, the Hashem Lokach. The Vav always connotes a Bezdin, a Yoim Hadin. He doesn't need a Bezdin. It's a matter of humility. It's a matter of when Hashem created Adam HaRishon, Hashem said, Naseh Adam. Hashem created a Bezdin just in order to say, should we make man? And the Chazal Rashi on the pasuk says Hashem does not need to consult with the Malachim if he should create man or not. Rather, Hashem wanted to teach mankind, humility. Humility, when I came to create you, built into the DNA of a human being is humility. That Nasa Adam, let us together, let us discuss this. Is it Kedai? Is it worthy that we should create man, yes or no?
Despite what Apikorus might say.
Oh, but your opening of the Pesach for Apikorus to say there's more than one Rishos. Hashem says it's Kedai. It's, don't worry, it's worthy that people should question my existence, my oneness, in order, at the consequence, in order, the trade-off is worth it, that man should be humble. This world, the sight of this world, you see this over and over, is trade-offs. The way Hashem created this world, there's no such thing as having it all. There's no such thing as Torah u'gedula b'makayim echad. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, okay, you're dealing with exceptions, one in a billion exceptions. Everything in life. What? Of course he has veto power. So Hashem is showing. It is an expression. Yes, correct. Okay, you know, that's correct. But Hashem is a sign of humility. That's exactly what Rashi says. Even though Hashem is veto power, and therefore the Malachim, the Bezdin is a joke. It's a total joke, and therefore if a person will go and look, they'll say, "Oh, you see, Hashem does. If Hashem has a Bezdin, that means Hashem does not have veto power. It must be there's more than one Rishus Chas V'Shalom in this world. There's more than one authority. Hashem is opening himself up to this criticism, to this weakness, to allow man to claim that Hashem is not almighty. Hashem is not omnipotent. Hashem says, let it be. Let it be. It's still worthy for me to teach humanity the lesson of humility. And that also reveals to us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he created man, he created this world with a principle called trade-offs. Famous thing, Yom Naran, Sholzev Yosh reminded this of me yesterday, is that in some of the old Machzorim, when it comes to Musaf, it says that the Shliach Tzibor, when it comes to the word Ayyeh, in the Kiddush of Musaf, when it comes to Ayyeh, Mikoyim Kivoidoi, the Shliach Tzibor should be Marech in singing Ayel, in order to give, in order to do Sakash on the Sar has this. No one says it today. Come on, who says this today? I guess no one, but it's not very popular today to say this. He's Marech in Ayel, he sings a melody in order to give the Tzibur an opportunity to recite this very beautiful Nus Tzvila. What is a Tzvila? In the Tzvila, you have a choice. You have to look at the Nusach Sar Machzab. You have a choice. You can be Nisfalo for one of three things. Either for Ruach HaKodesh. Anyone here want Ruach HaKodesh? Well, that's where you can be Nisfalo. Or for Oysher Parnosa. Anyone here want to be rich? That's where you Nisfalo. Or for good children. And in fact, someone told me, I heard this second hand, third hand, is that when Rav Chutna, Zechet Tzak Levracha, would interview a new student, a student would come and apply to enter into the yeshiva, back in the day, whenever this was, in the 50s, who knows when it was, 60s, and want to come into the yeshiva, he would come for an interview, and he would interview, he would very commonly ask him this question, he would say to him, it's soon going to be the Yomim Noiron, and we're going to come to the time when the Shlech Tzibur is Marech in Ayeh, and there on the side of the Machzor, you have a choice, one of three things. Tell me, my student, which one of the three will you pray for? This Yalim Laron. Will you pray for good children? Will you pray for Ashirus? Will you pray for Ruach HaKodesh? And there is no right answer. And it opens up a conversation. It's an excellent conversation piece to see where you're coming from. A Freudian slip. You only have 2 seconds to answer the question. A Freudian slip. I once told this to a woman, I'm not going to tell you who this woman is, and I told her this, and then she said to me without any hesitation, I would pray for all three. what's the problem? Daven for all three. So what's Taka the answer? What's the answer? The answer is, why isn't that the simple answer? And this illustrates the point, that's why I'm telling this to you, is because there's no such thing as all three. There's no such thing as all three.
It has to be a balance.
In this world, life is a trade-off. Built into the Bria is, you can't have it all. If you're going to devote yourself to Ruach HaKodesh, you're not going to be a rich man. You're not going to be able to mechanech your children. You're not going to have the siyata shmai and having the best children. If you want the best children, You're gonna spend days and nights learning with them, davening with them, studying with them. You're not gonna be a rich man. You're not gonna be a Ruach HaKodesh. That is what life is all about. You have to pick. You have to focus. You have to have everything, of course. Okay, you have to do your best to have a little of everything.
Which answer would he accept?
Everyone is different, and the truth is, what is really the answer? It depends. There are different tikufas in your life. When you're young, you're getting married, the ikar is good children. Then, when it comes time, once the children are on the right derech, you have to marry them off, you need a little money. You need some oisher. Okay, it costs a lot of money to marry off a child. And then, after you're in retirement, and you're in the morning kollel, then you're in the spalo for Ruach HaKodesh. After you have good children, and you marry them off, you have money, retirement funds, you need Ruach HaKodesh, right? You've come to the place of Ruach HaKodesh. What?
What are you doing?
What do you do? You criticize. You criticize the world. That's what you do. When you have Ruach HaKodesh, you can tell everyone you know what in the world you're doing. You're totally offbeat. What?
They'll put you away.
Okay. But this is a very important insight. You cannot. Everything in life is a trade-off. There are trade-offs in life. And you see that in the Nusach HaTzilah. And how do we get into this over here? I don't even remember how we got this over here. Somewhere we got into this over here. But over here we have, this Yisoid of the Vav. Okay, we came back, let's go back. Adam HaRishon. When Hashem created Adam HaRishon, why did he have to do it in such a way where if I'm going to teach man humility, then I'm going to open up myself to a challenge that I'm not the only creator of this world. There's going to be a Pesach for Apikorsis in this world. Why did Hashem have to create the world in such a fashion? Why could HaKadosh Baruch Hu teach humanity humility in a way where where it's obvious there's only a creator, there's only one Ribbono Shel Olam? That's a good question to which there is no answer. Hashem, it's more than just Bechira, Hashem created a world of trade-offs. It's worth it for me that the emphasis should be humility, even though there'll be an expense of apikarsim running around and saying whatever they're going to say. That's the DNA of this world. There are trade-offs. You have to focus on one thing. You have to make a decision, bechira, what is important and what is less important. Now, Derech Agav, just going off the topic a little bit, who does not have this problem? And this, you see this today, it's very, very true. Noshim. Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a woman, Hashem says, Loi toiv heyois odom levadoi, e'eseloi ezer kinegdoi. When it came to the creation of the woman, Hashem did not say, Nasa. Therefore, built into the DNA of a woman is an awareness that there's only one Hashem. Women have a much easier time recognizing the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu than man. Because when Hashem created man, Hashem said Nasa. When Hashem created a woman, Hashem said E'ese. They have a hard time with humility. I didn't say that, okay? But Hashem said, and that is why Rosh Hashanah, with the focus of Rosh Hashanah, is what? Rosh Hashanah is Malchios, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. It's not for nothing that Noshim are all over the place. Chana, Sarah, Rochel, Levakal, Boneha, the whole Rosh Hashanah, to the 100 pios of even the Ein Sisra, which we use as a springboard to refer to the cry we discussed as the cry of sorrow. The whole Shofar is the cry of sorry Menu, according to many of the Mefarshim. Chana is the Haftarah of the first day. The second day, Yesh Socha Lefula Seich Rochel Mevak Al Boneha. Why do we dwell upon the Koyach of Noshim on Rosh Hashanah? Because Noshim have a koyach that the men do not have. And that is, Hashem said in regard to their creation, whereas man, Hashem said, Nase. Okay, let's now go further. Next yisoid in the Mincha Gedoyla. Many, many yisoidas. Next, on the left column, up to the left column. Ulaniyas Taiti, near it. Divri Amos Ashochayak Vanoitim. It says that Amos, the first pasuk, was amongst the shepherds. Afal pi shohoya ishnoi ked royetzain, even though he was a simple man. Now he's coming, let's step back. Yesterday we learned he quoted the Al Sheikh. His first yisoid of Hakdama to say for Amos in the Michal Gedolah was to quote the Al Sheikh that says, how did it happen that this man, by the name of Amos, became a prophet? His father was not a prophet. Every time it says in Navi, a prophet, the son, Yechezkel ben Buzi, or it says, every prophet, and it mentions their father's name, it automatically tells us that they were the son of a prophet. So it's in the family, in Yechosim. It does not say who the father of Amos was, which means Amos' father was not a prophet. He was a simple person, and he became a prophet. So first, he quoted the Al-Shul that told us how to become a prophet. That's what the Pasuk is coming to tell us. It was Vanoitim and it was Mitakoya. It was a combination of two different factors. Number one, that he had a Parnasa, which gave him an opportunity to be misboided. As we said yesterday, in a tongue-in-cheek way, he was a Breslov HaChasid. Okay, he was a Breslov HaChasid at time for his Boididus. He was Oisek with the sheep. He had a lot of time to think about Hashem in his parnasa. Number two, he was mitakoya. Tekoya was a place of intelligent people. The smartest people, the wisest people came from Tekoya. There was something about the culture, something about the environment. What? And something about the environment of Tekoya, which caused people to be very wise and intelligent. So the combination of being a chacham and having a parnasa, which gave you the opportunity to think about your purpose in this world, that is what triggered in him the ability, the will, the desire to become a prophet. This is what we learned yesterday from the Alshech. Now the Mincha Gedolah says, let me tell you what I have to say. Why he became a prophet. He was a simple man. Ustam royim gazlonim, and Chazal tell us, and a shepherd is posul le'edus, is not allowed to serve. Why? They shepherd the animal in stolen pasture. They take the animals to eat on property that does not belong to them. Ganovim, they don't care. Shemarim behemtam b'sadoi she'enoi shelohen komash molon gabi omoi shohoi ish nemon tzadik tamim. He was different. He was not, did not have these issues. K'moi Moshe v'David
with
Avram was a shepherd. He was. Avram was a shepherd. He pardoned me a lie. Okay, fine, okay. Right. He gave Musa to Lavan. You separate because they were pasturing right in Chanan. Right. But doesn't say. It says Moshe David. It says David. It says David. Moshe David Yaakov also. Shehoye gam kein royim. V'zeh shamayim omos. Vayikocheni Hashem me'acharei hatzayin. Later on, when it comes to the end of the Sefer, Hashem took from behind the sheep, Va'imar Eli, V'chulu, Yirtze, this Yirtze, K'she'erim, this means to say, K'she'erim, Hoyu ma'asai lifnei Hashem. My deeds were proper in the eyes of Hashem. She'af al-pi she'she'orei royim mistoma. Gazlonim hein, nikol mokon li loka Hashem me'acharei hatzen, V'yomar Eli, Eli Daika has Eli Daika Li Hoya Hadibor. I was unique. So over here we come to single out that even though he was a shepherd, we have to remember that he was not like the other shepherds. And the average shepherd is Nechshad, is Choshud al Gezel, is Postal Eidus, but not Omois. Oyoimar, another. That's what the Pasuk, according to the Mincha, is a similar idea. What coming over to tell you over here is that do not make any mistake about it. Even though he was a shepherd, and stam gazlan, shepherds like gazlanim, Omois went against the grain. He was a whistleblower. He was a
exception
to the rule, and that's the fact that made him great. Oyoymar, another interpretation by noitim bitkoyam. Af al pishoyi lo behemos harbe. V'hoyedoy b'makom toy v'shamein. He lived in a place where there was very good pasture. K'mo shamein zal. Tekoya, alpha, l'shemen, tekoya is grade A. Alpha means grade A with regard to oil. V'hoya mokom eretz ha-chayim, chaye gufi tamon, zoyla tamon soiva. There's another chazal, which means that's where the gashmias was. If you wanted a good life, you want the best restaurants, you want the best apartments, the good life, the nicest shuls with the best air conditioning and all the amenities that life has to offer, that's where you go. I'm not going to give you some examples in America of some Jewish communities, but if you want to live the good life, that's where you went to Goya. In Kol Zeh, could you believe it? He went against the grain. He lived in a place, he grew up in the lap of luxury, the silver spoon in his mouth, and yet he rejected the Gashmias, devoted himself to be a Navi. Im kol zeh hiniach omos ta'anugei ha'gufim, the Gashmias of this world, v'osak b'muskolos, in wisdom, ad she'ola l'madrega ha'navi, he became a prophet. V'hinei, amuzal, ein ha'shchina shara ela b'toich simcha, v'yodua, she'odam bohul al mamoino, a person that is confused, he's bohul, he's confused about his money, umitzta'er al hezekoy ha'id, he was a shepherd. He was giving a prophecy that would affect his assets. Obviously, he was a very wealthy person, and Hashem gave him a message that says that you're going to be wiped out. You're going to lose all your parnasa. You're going to be a pauper. So we would expect the average person that came from wealth and was very comfortable, when he would hear what's going to come upon him, he would become depressed. he would suffer a mental breakdown, and that would instantly negate his ability to be a prophet, because the Navi must be the Simcha. It's coming to show you his greatness, that he was so committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the wealth meant nothing to him. And even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him he's going to be wiped out, it didn't make a difference. He's still... What? Not necessarily.
No. Rich people can be
in the... No, it depends. No, well, he was rich and he was a Navi. It's just, it all depends. You can't generalize. We're just coming to bring out his unique Nisoyon. He grew up in the lap of luxury. The average person in his situation, first of all, would not be interested in spirituality, because that's just the way it is. The gashmis affects a person's mind to the degree where it's not your primary interest. He rejected it. Number two, at least I have money in the bank. Okay, at least I'll survive my life. I'll live out a life. No, even that he was told he's going to be wiped out. And still, he was committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the degree where he remained in a state of simcha and was thus worthy, had the ability to continue to be a prophet. We're trying here to bring out the greatness of this individual.
It's the ability to, keep your commitment in the face of adversity.
Exactly, exactly. Lo hoya mitzta'er al hazeikai.
Adversity, it's going to hit you.
It's going to hit him. V'shari b'tzar u'da'oga ki oz ha'isa ha'shechina mislekes menu. Although the average person would enter into a state of depression, and thus he would not be a candidate to receive Hashem's nevuah, it didn't matter. Ki im kibel din shamayim be'ahava uchmoi sh'am uzal k'shem shemivarchem ala toiva kach vorechem ala ra ule kaboy linu b'simcha. He accepted the gzar din with simcha. The oifen shetamen hoyeli was samech, the shoket was tranquil, the shanon serenity. Al kain hoyel muchen shetishol of shchina of Amar Hashem itzen yishag. Yirtzed. This means to say. I'll now go into the next yisod. Okay, we're moving along to the next principle. This refers to bitul Torah, the heder kiyuma. As we said before, over here. What was his prophecy? His first prophecy was to complain to Klal Yisrael that they have abandoned the Torah. From Har Sinai, v'omer oy lohem labrios me elboina shel Torah. Woe to Klal Yisrael because of the insult, how they have insulted the Torah. V'zeu shama mitzion yishog v'alkein ayde shol shoyu misrashlim. They were lazy. Bekeser Torah. Beautiful Yisrael of Zeus Shamar, the Avlu and the Oisrael. And he said, "Okay, a very beautiful drush." And some of the Mepharshim, they all pick up upon this, and some reject this, and some accept it with open arms. And he says here that when it says here the Neois, the pasture of the Royim, this really refers to the institution of the Kahuna, of the Kohanim. Hey, I'm sorry. The shepherds, Haim Hamilochim, sorry, the kings. This is the institution of Malchus, the Malchus of Klal Yisrael, the Zer Kesem Malchus. And the next expression, the Yavesh, the Roisha Carmel, who based Hamigdosh, the Carmel we're calling, I'm not sure why Carmel refers to the base Hamigdosh, but that's what we're referring to, the Hu Keser Kuhuna. And he's telling us an incredible principle that even says in Pirkei Avos that there are really four kesarim: Keser Kohuna, Keser Malchus, Keser Torah, and Keser Shem Toiv Oila Al Gadehem. They're not all the same. Two of them are totally in the third. The Keser Kohuna and the Keser of Malchus is rooted in the Keser HaTorah. If there is no Keser Torah, then there will be no Keser Kuhuna, and no Keser Malchus, and the source is Pasuk Beis of Sefer Omos. Vayomar Hashem Mitzion Yishag u'Mirushalayim Yitein Koilo. This is that there is no Keser Torah. Why? Because if Tzion ki Mitzion Teitzei Sorah is complaining, is Yishag, obviously there is known that is wearing today the Keser of Torah. Thus, there are consequences. What are the consequences? The Keser Kuhuna and the Keser Malchus will be removed. The Avlu Neois Harayim, the pasture of the shepherds. The shepherds in this pasuk is a code word for the kings. The kings, they shepherd their people. A king is a shepherd for his flock. And the Rosh HaKarmel is an expression. The Carmel represents the little translation of the Carmel is what? Shem. It's the name of a place of fields and vineyards. Okay, it's an orchard. It's a hard word to translate. It means different things in different places. The Mitzvot Tzion here says it's just a general title of fields and orchards, which here we're using as a metaphor for the Beis HaMikdash, the institution of the Kehanim. It will come to an end. The Rosh HaKarmel, the Beis HaMikdash, which we're referring to here as the word Carmel, it's toloi ze beze. They all go hand in hand. Okay, is there any more Minchas Gedolah here before we go further? Okay, that I believe concludes the Mincha Gedolah. That's really his Hakdama. He laid out a lot of very, very nice things. We'll just start with 2 minutes. The Malbim. We're going out of order. We didn't even do Rashi yet or the Mitzudos, because I think these two Mefarshim, they really give us a very nice overview of who is Amos, what were his Nisyonos, and what exactly is he trying to accomplish, at least in the very, very beginning. Really, it says it all. He's coming to complain about Bittul Torah. Ki Mitzion Teitzei Soira. I'll just read maybe just 2 lines of the Malbim and we'll stop. Page 264, going back to the beginning, what does it say in the Malbim? Dibri Amos Hashachai Banaitim, Harav Yitzchak Abarbanel. So we've already learned, we've already quoted the Al-Sheikh. Here he's quoting the Abarbanel. Hissing the Kanal Amoira, he comes to argue on the Rambam. Again, we discussed this yesterday with the Al-Sheikh and in the beginning of the Mich Gedoyla, and he's going back to his old Yisoid, back in Sefer Yoel, what we discussed yesterday. What does it take to be a Navi? The Rambam learns to be a Navi. The Neshama has to have been designated for prophecy before it even came down to this world. Before his mother conceived the embryo, the Neshama was already destined to be a prophet. If the Neshama was not destined to be a prophet, there is no way in the world a person can ever reach the level of prophecy. No, Nevuah is not the same thing as Ruach HaKodesh. That's the difference between Kisuvim and Nevi'im. The Sifrei Nevi'im is Nevuah, and the Sifrei Kisuvim is Ruach HaKodesh. Now, there can be a person that has both. Okay, David HaMelech was certainly a Navi, but Sefer Tehillim was not written with Nevuah. Sefer Tehillim was written with Ruach HaKodesh. That's why Sefer Tehillim is in Kisuvim, not in Sifrei Nevi'im. Even though David appears in some of the earliest prophets that existed, but it's not. But he had different dimensions to his being. So that they're separate things. Which one is greater? Good question. Look at the Yamim Nairav. Which psukim do we when we read the psukim on the 10th psukim of Malchios, Zichroines, and Shofars? What does it say? What is the order? First, we say psukim of the Torah, and then what do we say? Ksuvim. And then we wind down with the Al Yidei Avodecha Hanavim Kosuv Leimar. Am I making a mistake? The order is first Ksuvim. We have the Machsh over here. Right? First is Ksuvim. And that's the big topic of discussion. Why in the Nusach HaTfilah, Rosh Hashanah, do we first mention Ksuvim? And in our Mikros Gedolos, we're brainwashed that the order is first Nevi'im, and then Kisuvim. Who says that's correct? Maybe the order should first be Kisuvim? Because our school says so. Who says that's correct? Who says? Why? David wrote to him way before Yeshaya. Chagai is Zechariah Malachi. So why? So the truth is they're two completely separate things. One is not necessarily greater than the other. They're completely different. They're different dimensions. And look, over here, here's the Nusach HaTfilah. You have Malchios. And then we have the Sukkim from the Torah. The Al Yidei. Uvidivrei, first we read from Ksuvim. Uvidivrei Kotshecho Kosuv Leimar Ki Lashem Amluchum Shel Magoyim. That is a Pasuk in Tehillim. And then we go over Nemar Hashem Moloch, Geoslovesh, Lovesh Hashem Oishis Hazar, Vuhulu, Vuhulu. And then the Al Yidei Avodecha Hanevi'im Kosuv Lemar. So it's critical to remember, this is the big thing. Everyone davens on Rosh Hashanah, not everyone learns Nach, but everyone davens Rosh Hashanah, and the Seder HaDavodim and Rosh Hashanah is Torah, Kisuvim, and Nevi'im. Kisuvim represents a koyach of Ruach HaKodesh. Nevi'im represents a koyach of Nevuah. They're different. Okay. And one is not necessarily greater than the other. We typically believe that Nevuah is greater. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Av HaNevi'im. There's no one greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. But Moshe Rabbeinu was also HaRuach HaKodesh. Let's not forget that. Okay, it is a big topic. Okay, this is a very big topic of discussion. Radak is very famous. Hagam to Radak Anach. It's a very, very famous Radak. And that is a starting point for a lot of people to discuss the difference between the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim. There's a lot of stuff on this. I once heard a very beautiful shiur from Schneer Lyman. From Schneer Lyman, he gave a fantastic, he's speaking to high school boys, gave a fantastic, fantastic shiur discussing the difference between, he used his encyclopedic knowledge of Nach and everything else that he knows to go through to the Makif the Inyan. All right, we're out of time already, so we'll leave the Malbim Yitz Hashem for tomorrow.